is a general contractor who is very highly thought of by many people, particularly my dentist nephew, whom he just finished building of his new office on Scotts Valley Drive, Dr. McGraw. So anyhow, so I met Dennis today, and I asked if he'd listened to the radio station. Well, but he answered in a way that made me think he wasn't a regular listener. So I asked him how much he would charge to become a regular listener. He said, "Come again? What do you mean charge?" And I said, "Well, you know, whatever we need to do to get new listeners, we're happy to do. You know, I mean." He said, "Well, you don't have to pay me. I'll be happy to tune in." I said, "Do it. This is a good time to do it, particularly this Saturday special, because it's a topic that people who have heirs and heirs who have benefactors will be extremely interested in hearing." So, by the way, I don't see the promo here for that, and I heard that the generic promo driving in. So do you have the one that says 122 Estate?
There it is.
Okay,
yes,
good.
I will cue you.
Oh, you'll have it ready.
Yeah,
so we will officially open the program right now, okay?
Yeah. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. Tunes and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, KSCO Land. It's AM 1080, your favorite radio station. And the favorite program on your favorite radio station. Nah, that's a little too presumptuous of me, maybe. It's hour number one of the Saturday special with MZ. And a special guest today on the Saturday special. In fact, a couple of them, but one in particular, I'll tell you all about that right after we play the promo. So do stay tuned.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
If you have any net worth at all, you would be wise to listen to the next Saturday special. Because as things stand now, big changes are coming to U.S. tax laws come January 1st, only 3 months from now. So, if you're going to die anytime soon and have an estate to pass on to heirs, bear in mind that they will be much better off if you die before the massive 2011 estate tax increase kicks in. So, see if you can accommodate. Yeah, I know, not the most pleasant topic for discussion, but quite necessary for those to whom it applies. Tim Morgan and David Howell are two prominent local attorneys who are specialists in estate planning, real estate law, and land use, and want you to understand the full impact of the new estate tax laws and what you can do to soften that impact. So tune in this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Sometimes We Have to Scare You to Protect You Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. You ask, who is this special person? Well, the name has already been divulged in the promo. Tim Morgan, and we also have David Howell. We'll be getting him on the phone momentarily. Tim Morgan is a very special guest because 44 years ago in this room, in this very radio station, Tim and I did a radio program together called Santa Cruz High School on the Air. And Tim was, he was on the, I don't know what you called it, you know, the Supreme Court of the Santa Cruz High School or something.
That's what we called it.
Is that what it was? Okay. And it was really cool, I mean, because you were so impotent back then, you got to interview impotent people like the superintendent of schools, and it was really fun to listen to your... Denzel Morrissey was his name.
Superintendent Morrissey.
Yeah, you got to do an interview with him. It was pre-recorded because, you know, that's the way it was done for whatever reason. And you said, Well, and we're very happy to have the superintendent of schools, Mr. Denzel Morrissey, whatever he was, whatever the title was. Good evening, Mr. Morrissey.
Good evening, Tim.
he had a voice that was like 12 octaves lower than yours at the time. So anyhow, welcome back to KSU. You've been here about 150 times since then, I think.
That's right. In the 90s, I was a regular guest for about 5 years on a call-in show, political call-in show with Tim Clear. The two Tims.
Yeah, that was a great program.
Eric Scheck was the host of that.
Yeah.
So, no, and it brings a great smile to my face to hear the theme music transports me right back to when we were in high school and Vernon Berlin owned the station.
Ooh.
And you still have the library of that music and play it. Makes me very happy.
Well, the jingles, but we don't play the Santa Cruz High in the Air thing. Need to do. That's
yeah,
we need to find that Illinois loyalty theme. Anyhow, that we'll do later. But for right now, let's get your compatriot on the air here.
Good, and he's standing by.
Yeah, okay. Now, I'm going to dial him up to the best of my ability. Okay, the phone's about to fall off the edge here. Okay, let's see if it goes through. Let's see if it goes through. Harumph. Do you think because we didn't call right at 10 o'clock, he got mad and left?
Hello?
No. Oh, you are there. Good. David.
Yes. Hey, Michael.
Hi, how you doing? Okay, we are on the air now. And how does it feel to be on the air now?
It's great, Michael.
Good. All right, now we got to stop kidding around here. It's a very serious subject. Tim and David are in practice together on Jewel Street, I think, is your location.
That's right, by the Elks Lodge.
Yeah, in Santa Cruz. And your specialty is estate planning and real estate law, right? And
I'd have to say most of our time is in estate planning and administration and real estate and then some small business. That's pretty well what we do.
Do you think, did you hear the promo, David?
No, I don't think I did, actually.
Okay. Well, I'll ask Tim this question then. Do you think I overdid it on the promo?
Oh, no. Anything we can do today to scare people, to get them ready for what's going to happen on January 1st of next year if Congress doesn't fix the estate tax mess, then we're doing a valuable
and they're not gonna service. And they're not going to fix the Congress will not. Tell me if this is a correct statement, Tim, and you're a political guy, so you can answer this definitively. If the House and Senate do not change after the November election, they will. Well, wait a minute. Even if it does change,
you've got to have the president to sign a bill.
Yeah, and I wasn't even thinking of that. True, I wasn't thinking of that. Isn't it true that if it changes, that it does, it takes the change takes place on January 1st? It doesn't take place the next day.
January 1st, the federal estate tax repeal expires, and the existing law comes in, and the existing law is federal estate tax at the rate of 55% on anything over $1 million.
And what it is right now is $1.2 million?
What it is right now is there is no federal estate tax this year at all, period. In 2009, there was a federal estate tax at 45% with a $3.5 million exclusion. So the exclusion goes from $3.5 million to $1 million. The tax rate goes from 45% to 55%.
Oh, okay. Well, at least it's not 90%. I thought it was something even worse than that. But that's pretty bad, especially the exclusion part, you know.
Yes, and we're going from zero this year to 55% next year.
That's huge.
Yes.
Absolutely. See, even I'm smart enough to figure that one out.
Even with your grasp of station economics, you get that one.
Right. So what can people do and what should people do? I mean, except pray that that there's a big change. You know, now you've got to assume that there isn't going to be a big change, and then there's certain things they could do with their estate.
Sure. I'll take just a minute with my political hat on.
Please.
And between now and the November election, they can work for candidates who will support making repeal of the death tax permanent. In other words, elect people who will go to Washington to fix this problem, who go there with a mindset that what people spend their lives building up and accumulating should not, when that person dies, more than half go to the state. Because unfortunately, we have a majority in Congress right now that firmly believes that, and they need to go, and that's a political remedy.
And is that the Democrats' base? So anybody who's not a Democrat is okay? Is that a, or shouldn't I make that statement?
Let's put it this way. Every Democratic member of the House of Representatives voted for Nancy Pelosi for Speaker.
Okay.
That tells me that every current Democrat incumbent in Congress is just plain wrong and needs to be replaced.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, but you say work for people. It's easy to ask the candidate that you're contemplating working for what his or her position is on the estate tax. But
it's the Democrat position not to make repeal of the death tax permanent.
Okay, so okay. It's a safe bet if you want to work for somebody, work for a Tea Party or an independent or a Republican.
That's right, on this issue.
On this particular issue.
But I don't want to make the show today.
Sure.
Really a political talk, because there are things that individuals can do, and that's the second part of your question,
yes,
in the planning of their own estate to minimize the bad consequences that will follow if they don't plan.
Okay.
That's what I'd like to talk about primarily today, and I invite callers to call in with questions that bear on this, both the tax and the planning.
Something tells me we're going to get a lot of callers. In fact, we already have one, 479-1080, but we're not going to go to the phones for a while.
Well, so let me sort of explain what the estate tax is, and intermittently I think we'll refer to it as a death tax and the estate tax,
Okay. Recognizing
that it is an estate tax, but the word death tax has a particular appeal. It hits the gut because anybody who hears that word death tax knows what we're talking about. When somebody dies, there's a tax on the right to transfer to other people their property. That's what the inheritance. That's what the estate tax is. That's what I'm going to call the death tax.
Okay.
Now, right now, as we've already established, for a one-year period, there is no federal estate tax. The question is, how did we get here, and why in 3 months is the world going to be upside down?
Yeah.
Okay?
Good question.
And if you haven't been following it, you'll find it interesting. It was a long-term goal of the Republicans, when they had control of Congress, to get the death tax repealed. And it took many years to build a consensus to drive this. And in 2001, Republicans were able to pass a bill. They couldn't get 60 votes in the Senate. So under the procedural rules, they were able to pass a bill without having to get involved in the cloture question that phased out the estate tax over time. So back in 2001, the exemption was low, the tax rate was high. In a period of steps, every 2 or 3 years up until this year, the tax rate has gone steadily down, the exemptions have gone steadily up, 1.5 million, up to 2 million, up to 3.5 million, that's what it was in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Tax rates down, from 55% down to the 45% where it was in 2009,
mm-hmm.
and then no estate tax this year. Now, why then are we looking at the punitive rate of 55% and the extraordinarily punitive low exemption of $1 million?
Yeah.
Why? That's because it was set up like a poison pill. In other words, a result so extreme, so ridiculously bad, that any Congress between 2001 and now knew they had to fix it. Otherwise, the voters wouldn't stand for it. OK? Okay? A poison pill. We cannot possibly let this stand. We're going to have to fix it. So that was the Republican plan.
And then Obama got elected.
And the Democrats in 2007.
And if anything, they probably think that it's not bad enough. I mean,
lower the exemption to half a million.
Lower it to half a million.
Right. Raise it to 75%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody thought that would happen, Michael. So we have a situation in which nobody sat around in a room and said, in an ideal world, what would a good exemption be? And in an ideal world, what would a good estate tax rate be? What we have is the consensus, what would the worst, most miserable stinko exemption be and the most miserable stinko tax rate? We're going to put that in so that it won't stand. But we're backing right into it like we're backing into a fan.
Yeah, it backfired. Huh.
Yes.
The whole idea backfired.
Yes, because nobody thought this would remain unsolved. But here we are.
Wow.
Now, let's look at a couple of other things. Many people hear $1 million, and they think only fabulously wealthy people have $1 million. That doesn't affect me, they think. Because most people think the definition of rich is somebody who has more money than I do. Mm-hmm. They're rich, I'm not rich.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, if we were in the Midwest where land values are low, house prices are low, maybe you would not readily approach an estate of $1 million. And that includes not only money in the bank, but the value of your house, the value of your retirement accounts, the value of life insurance, everything you have added together at the market rate value of when you die. So let's say, you know, you're in the Midwest and you bought a house, $30,000. Now it's worth $200,000. And maybe you got another $400,000 of everything. You got a $600,000 estate. No problem. Come over here to California on the coast where houses, you know, kind of start at $400,000 and go rapidly up.
Yeah.
It doesn't take, and you know, maybe you pay $35,000 to $45,000 for a luxury car. You begin looking around. You got money in your retirement account. You got maybe $250,000 of life insurance. It doesn't take very long before you find, gosh, my net worth on paper, and that's what the IRS would be looking at,
right,
is more than $1 million. Yeah. I'm in the gun sight. I don't feel like I'm a millionaire. I don't have any money left over at the end of the year. I got barely enough money to make a retirement account contribution, but I'm not wealthy. Oh, yes, you are, according to the government. So we are really looking at the middle class in central coastal California. If you've got a house and any other kind of investments at all, including life insurance, you are in the gun sight. And those are people we're talking to today. And the people we could help the most would be a married couple who together have a combined net worth between $1 million and $2 million. Because with effective planning, even when this draconian new law comes in January, if it's not changed, we can make sure that everything that couple has can pass tax-free on the death of the second to die. If they don't do anything, then I'm sorry to say that anything they have in their combined estate over $1 million, but under $2 million, on the death of the second spouse will be taxed at 55%. The easiest example I could give you would be, let us say they do have slightly under $2 million. I just said we could get that passed zero tax. Same amount in their estate, they don't plan it. The tax would be almost $600,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is an extraordinary difference, and all that's entailed is getting up off your chair and going to see somebody competent who can help you plan it. Now, the opportunity to save $500,000 in that fact pattern doesn't come up every day, Michael.
That's a true statement.
Okay. Now, there are a lot of things that people who have less than $1 million, either in their single estate or a combined estate of a married couple, need to know that will help. Help with income taxes. Okay. We'll get in to a certain extent there, maybe talking a little bit about tax-deferred accounts like retirement accounts, various things that can be done. Then other things that people can do to avoid probate. That's time-consuming and expensive and is as involved in this whole discussion as the death tax. But because of the looming deadline of January 1st, primarily I hope we talk about the death tax.
Sure. Well, now, let's do it.
Okay. Now, David, what would you like to say, sort of by way of intro?
Well, it seems to me that that number that Tim's talking about, the $1 million magic number, is really critical. I mean, on the Central Coast, in our area, it's just easy to get to that number by the time you've reached an appropriate age, and it's really critical for people to not miss the opportunity to protect themselves here. We don't know what's going to happen next year. Congress couldn't get a budget passed. They could barely get out of town, actually, on votes about taxes and stuff. And so they're going to be deadlocked. And with the president, who is going to be, I think, strongly opposed to what all indications are is going to be a Republican-controlled Congress, we may be looking at more deadlock. And in any case, the president's rhetoric, both during his election and since then, has been about soaking it to the rich. Well, Tim made a very good point that it's very different to be rich in Des Moines than in Santa Cruz. So the people here really are the ones who are going to get nailed by these changes. And, you know, part of our goal is to raise everyone's awareness of that and try to get this fixed. And, you know, the investment in getting the fix done is insignificant relative to what you're going to save if it's done right. So it's really, really worth doing. So we just have to, you know, hope people understand that this isn't really an effort on our part to drum up business. This is an effort to really help people who are going to hit a very serious tax problem unless they seek out the appropriate help to get sorted out.
And it is just so unfortunate that we're in that position. It shouldn't be necessary to spend money to conserve your own property. I feel very badly how many people have to employ a CPA or an accountant to do a tax return. That shouldn't be necessary, but that's where we are.
We've been there for many years.
Yeah, shouldn't be necessary to do this to conserve your own estate, but that's where we are. And the sad cases we see, Michael, are right now are where there was a husband and wife. They had no plan. The first spouse died. The second spouse then has all of their accumulated assets in their name alone. And they get hammered when they die because there's more money in their estate. There's more money in their adjusted gross estate than there needed to be. And in 2009, when we still had a tax, they could get hammered if they had more than $3.5 million. This year, as I say, no tax. Next year, they're going to get killed. Well, unfortunate choice of words, since we're talking about a death tax. They're going to get nailed if they have more than $1 million bunched in their name that could have been spread over to a trust utilizing
their
first spouse.
It's very easy to appraise a bank account. If you have $800,000 in a bank account, it's going to appraise, rightly so, at $800,000. Who knows what real estate is worth these days? So how do they appraise real estate for that?
The critical time for making the appraisal is the date of death of the decedent. The IRS recognizes licensed appraisers who have certain level of experience and credentials, and they will take their valuations. So you have to pay a licensed, credentialed real estate appraiser to make a market valuation of the property as of the date of death. the IRS can challenge the appraisal in court if they think it's off base. A drive-by by a real estate broker won't suffice. Comps given to you by your friendly local real estate agent won't suffice. You have to have an appraisal. Now, you might say, Tim, what about an estate where the value of the real property is obviously less than $1 million, and there just isn't enough other property to kick it over $1 million, so you don't have a federal estate tax problem, you don't even have to file a return? Why would you incur the expense to get an appraisal? That's a fair question. And the answer is, at some point, that property is going to change hands. You need to know, for income tax purposes, what the fair market value of the property was on the date of death, because that establishes the new income tax basis in the property for capital gains computations. When you acquire that property by inheritance, it gets the new stepped-up basis. So let's say it was purchased for $200,000 on the date of death. It's worth $800,000. If you don't get that appraisal done and get it documented, and you subsequently sell that inherited property, guess what?
Yeah,
you're probably going to pay capital gain on the basis of $200,000.
Yeah, which is $600 more than you need to.
But if you'd gotten that appraisal and you got the basis fixed and you can prove what it was, then your capital gain will be figured on that
basis. So these are all neat little tricks that you need to know.
Yeah, I wouldn't call them tricks. I'd call them essentials for economic survival.
Right. But I mean, David, you sound like you want to say something.
In the sense that your friendly neighborhood contractor has a whole toolbox full of assorted tools for getting your house built and fixed up, we have a wide variety of tools available, and we'll talk about these as today's program progresses, to help people protect as much of their property as possible from the tax man. So we'll talk about all that stuff, but this is just one of those things where we want to make sure we've got the basis nailed down properly so that you don't overpay your capital gains tax, which is a separate problem, but it's all part of the same, and all trying to keep it in your hands rather than the government's.
Sure.
Now, I want to comment, because even as with the estate tax, we have a special rule for this year, 2010. In other words, no tax. We have a special rule for adjusting the basis of property acquired by inheritance this year, 2010. There's a transitional rule. It was, through 2009, the case that property acquired by inheritance is acquired a new stepped-up basis. By that I mean whatever is worth in the date of the death of the decedent, that's the value it had for income tax purposes and capital gains.
Later on. Yeah.
Later on. This year, that's not the case. The basis is the acquisition basis of the decedent. So in our 200,000 house example, that's the acquisition.
Oh, so they gave something, but they took something.
That's right. Yeah. Now, there's a transitional rule that says you can increase that basis by $1.3 million of non-cash assets. So that would work to cover that house in our example.
Yeah.
And there's an additional $3 million increase to adjust basis available to a surviving spouse. So a surviving spouse could benefit from an additional $4.3 million adjustment in basis in 2010. That would apply to the baseball team owner, Steinbrenner. Remember? He died, huge estate, passes free of estate tax. Okay. The valuation for purposes of capital gain of his estate is caught in this transitional rule. So if he had low basis property that otherwise would have attained a new stepped up basis, that's not going to happen. It's not going to get more than a $4.3 million increase in basis. Okay, nobody talks about that side of his case, but that's very much the case. Now, that's going to go away, Michael, in January, because this law expires, so we'll be back to the old rule about the basis. Yeah. It'll be.
That's the only good part about what would be coming back.
That's the only good part.
Right. We're talking with attorneys Tim Morgan and David Howell. specialists in estate planning and real estate law, among other specialties. Practiced locally in Santa Cruz on Jewel Street. And we're talking today about the coming draconian increase in estate taxes come first of the year, unless something happens to change that. And it would have to happen pretty fast, I think.
Well, it would. And then, yeah. Of course, people are speculating, could Congress in 2011 make a law that would be retroactive?
Oh.
Well, you recall, in Bill Clinton's first year, Congress did. Now, that wasn't to extend a benefit or a break to taxpayers. That was to make retroactive an estate tax increase. So even though you'd gone to your grave, maybe thinking, okay, this is what I'm going to owe, ha-ha, the new Congress increased the tax and made it retroactive.
Those lice.
So could the new Congress in 2011 make a law that would extend repeal?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, I think there should be a new amendment to the Constitution saying that there shall be no double taxation. And this whole estate thing is double taxation from day one. This is all money that's already been taxed. How dare they tax it again?
Now, you realize, if that were the amendment, how many taxes would fall? You take almost any commodity, and you look at the number of times in the life cycle of the commodity taxes have been paid as it's wound up in your possession.
I didn't know that. I thought it was only once for sales tax. That's why people have sales tax, resellers permits and so forth. So they
look at the cost of a loaf of bread. There's so many transactions between the time the seed is planted in the ground and the loaf comes home from the store with you, where taxes have been paid. And that's not even a value-added tax.
I don't mean to sound insensitive, Tim, but it wouldn't bother me one bit. I think that it's only right that things should not be taxed more than once.
I agree with you, Mike.
And can it be done with – it would take a constitutional amendment, right? How do you do a constitutional amendment? It's easier to do that on the state basis, I think, but –
It is extremely difficult. It requires an amendment to pass. First of all, to be circulated among the states requires, as I recall, a two-thirds vote in both houses of Congress.
Yes.
And ratification by three-fourths of the states. The president is not involved. That's one way. Another way is for a certain number of state legislatures, again, it may be three-fourths, could be two-thirds, I'm not quite sure, because it's never been done. To request the convening of a convention for that purpose. So those are the two ways you can amend the Constitution. For all intents and purposes, it's so difficult that won't happen.
They're getting mad enough now that I've never seen in my life.
Well, it would be easier to do it by law, but you have to have a Congress and you have to have an executive who are on board with the idea.
Well, it's possible to have a Congress that would be on board with the idea, but not the executive for the next 2 years anyhow. Mm. Do you agree?
Yeah. I agree.
All right. Let's give out the phone number, 479-1080. Scott in Scotts Valley will be our first caller, but not until after we have the commercial break that keeps the radio station going. So stay with us. It's the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. We will be back with more David Howell and Tim Cleary and you, the callers.
No, Tim Morgan.
Cleary, geez. Yeah, the brain was stuck in the 90s. Yeah, Tim Morgan and David Howell. David Howell, Tim Morgan. Right after this commercial break.
Hi, I am Jeff Taylor, and I want to be your representative in Congress. I am an independent thinker running as the Republican candidate. Like 90% of President Obama's cabinet members, Sam Farr is a career politician who believes in high taxes and big government. It's no wonder the deficit and unemployment rates are skyrocketing. Let's face it, people are struggling and the future looks grim. Our current Congressman, Sam Farr, is part of the problem. Unlike the Farrs, my family, the Taylor family, has been building businesses, growing our local economy, creating jobs, and generating those tax dollars that career politicians love to spend. It's time to replace them with problem solvers like me. I will work to bring about economic stability, create new jobs, and secure our future. Please visit my website. Tell me what you think. And join my team at www.taylorforcongress.com. Vote Jeff Taylor for Congress this November. I will go to work for you. Thank you. I'm Jeff Taylor, running for the 17th Congressional District, and I endorse this message.
Ben Lomond Market, Scotts Valley Market. Low price, great savings, quality, and service that doesn't always cost you more.
Hi, I'm Andy, the produce manager at Ben Lomond Market. This week in produce, we are featuring many local grown items. Gisnitz Ranch, Panova, Red Delicious, and Honey Crisp apples, 99 cents a pound. Small Gala apples, 67 cents a pound. Frambrini Farms, Brussels sprouts and leeks, $1.19 a pound. And Salinas grown head lettuce, 88 cents each. In organics, heirloom tomatoes, $2.49 a pound. Green or purple large artichokes, two for $3. All the local grown organic hard squash varieties, 69 cents a pound. All sizes and shapes of pumpkins and the first pomegranates of the season have arrived at Ben Lomond Markets and Scotts Valley Markets.
Compare and save. Be sure to check their weekly price comparison sheet. Please visit them at mylocalgrocer.com.
Even though I cut a wonderful promo for Pollen Burst and the Longevity product garage sale this weekend, we want a huge turnout, so we will sell out. So I'll invoke an additional approach. I'll use my irritating but effective Billy Mays voice. Join Ginny Sullivan and her crew this Saturday and Sunday at the KSCO garage for another epic Longevity product sale. Step right up and invest in your good health with minerals, Cherry Mints, OsteoFX Plus, EFAs, Tangy Tangerines, Ultimate Classic, and much more. Do you have an arthritic Aminal? Get some Arthrodex and watch your pet start behaving noticeably better and in less pain or discomfort. We have so many canisters of Bloomin' Mineral Soil Additive, both liquid and granulated, that you should buy some and add it to your plants immediately. Start your own personal farmer's market. Don't miss this event this Saturday and Sunday at the KSCO Garage, beginning at 9 a.m. each day and continuing until the crew gets tired, bored, or flakes out. You will save money, especially if you tell them the late Billy sent you.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Howard Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
It's time to unravel the mysteries of health coverage with Pamela Fugit-Hetrick of DCD Financial and Insurance Services, an authorized independent agent for Anthem Blue Cross.
Health coverage plans are a lot like cable TV options. The least expensive plans give you the basic coverage. The most expensive plans give you all the bells and whistles. If you don't like paying for all the bells and whistles, consider a health savings account eligible plan, or HSA. HSA premiums can be up to 50% less, and the HSA account provides a federal tax-free way to save for future health expenses. Use the power of my experience as a health insurance professional. We'll talk over the quotes and make sure that you choose the best coverage at the most affordable rates.
Unravel the mysteries of your health coverage with Pamela Fugit-Hetrick of DCD Financial and Insurance Services. Go to healthexchangeforall.com for a free quote and then give Pamela a call. That's healthexchangeforall.com.
California Insurance License 0D75558. Anthem Blue Cross is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross Association.
The following public service message is brought to you by the good neighbors of SantaCruzCounty.org.
John, we have to rent the beach house for our annual Thanksgiving weekend.
We can't go this year, Blanche. There's a new ordinance for Santa Cruz County that says we'd have to rent for a whole week.
That's crazy. We've rented that same beach house every Thanksgiving weekend for the last 18 years.
Yeah, well, now we're going to have to rent it for 7 days minimum. We can't afford that, Blanche.
Who is behind this idiotic proposal?
County Supervisor Leopold from the Live Oak District. And no one gets to vote on it. He's just going to push it through.
But, John, that's not fair. Can't we do anything about it?
Yes, we can. There's a county... County Housing Advisory Commission meeting at Live Oak Elementary School at 6:30, Wednesday, October 6th.
Well, that's an easy date to remember, John. It's our anniversary. We can go downtown to protest, then have dinner afterwards. It'll be fun.
Ooh, that's right, Blanche. I knew that date was etched in my mind for some reason.
Oh, you're so full of it, John.
Was that 5.5 minutes? That's amazing. All right, welcome back to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special with Tim Morgan and David Howell. We're talking estate planning, particularly in light of the looming estate tax draconian increase. come January 1st, unless something happens. And it's always a good thing to do anyhow, even if it's not as bad. But it's going to be pretty bad, probably, right? I mean, until something.
You should hope for a miracle.
Yeah, exactly. So if you want to give us a call, it's 479-1080. You could ask a question of our expert people, David and Tim. Before we go to the calls, I want to put out a report of our garage sale of Youngevity products going on right now. It's going on right now. There's plenty of parking. Tim and I walked out, and what was your impression, Tim?
That garage was much neater than the broadcast studio.
Yeah. Okay, good. So and it has wonderful things in it, unlike the broadcast studio that has nothing in it that can be consumed. And even if it did, you probably wouldn't want to because it's a pigsty in here by comparison to the garage.
It's all relative,
but
Michael.
What struck me is that there's not enough people there. There should be. What's wrong with you people? Don't you like to save money? Anyhow, that is my little way of telling you that you should get down here now and take advantage of the wonderful sale of Youngevity products. Okay? They're fresh products. They're not expired products. They're perfectly good products, and they will help you feel much better and be more productive and probably live a lot longer.
We hope.
Yeah, well, we always hope that.
We hope. Unless you want to avoid the federal estate tax, in which case you might want to consider dying this year.
There is that consideration.
There's a lot of grisly.
If you would rather not die this year. Then don't come to the to the event and buy these products that could extend your life.
There is actually grisly humor as we approach this deadline. You think about all the nursing homes in the United States where you have elderly residents who have estates worth more than $1 million. And they're being visited by their children and grandchildren, nieces and nephews, who are looking at that clock ticking to December 31, knowing if grandma passes before that minute, it's all tax-free. But if she survives one more minute into the next year, then 55% on anything over $1 million, I think there are going to be a lot of unsatisfactorily explained expirations in nursing facilities all over the United States this fall.
I think you're right, Tim.
And it's sad to say, but it's human nature. It's grisly.
I don't know what to say other than
you got that clock. Why don't we talk about some of the basic, simple things people could consider doing to lessen the impact of this?
Should we do that now, or should we start taking calls now? You decide.
You're the host.
Well, okay. I think I already suggested that we would be taking calls.
And
right,
do we have David back on the line?
Yeah, David's David's there, and he's locked in. He's all locked and loaded. So here's Scott in Scotts Valley.
Welcome. Hey, MZ.
Hey, welcome to the Saturday Special. Yeah. You're on the air.
Hey, first of all, I want to apologize for last week. You were about to go to me on my cell phone, and I had it on speakerphone, and I went to go turn off the speakerphone, and I turned off my phone.
Well, it takes a big man to apologize.
So, hey, yeah, not a problem, not a problem.
And you didn't call back? Why?
Oh, no, I did call back, and but as I was on hold, my sister, who is in who's in North Carolina, called, and she only calls me when there's like a family emergency. So,
or when you're on hold to go on the air.
Yeah. So, so while I was on hold, I was actually talking to her. But anyway, back to your topic. First of all, the opinions expressed by this caller are only this caller's and may not reflect those of KSCO's owners, management, advertisers, or affiliates. With that out of the way, I wanted to say that I believe that inheritance is wrong because it doesn't provide the impetus or drive, you know, the hunger that builds character, to dig deep into oneself and to explore what it takes to survive in this world, because you already have an advantage over the struggle. Okay.
So does that mean when someone dies, that what should happen to their property?
Well, I think a person who has that kind of money, that's up to them. That's a personal choice. You want to leave it to your children? You want to donate it to your government or to whatever charitable organizations that you affiliate or align yourself with? That's perfectly fine. It also doesn't provide this empathic connection that most people seem to have lost now, because most people on this planet actually have to fight for their own survival. So it continues this elitist mentality that's rampant within our world. Now, having that said, I also agree with you, MZ, that this estate tax, this death tax, is completely wrong, because all the money that went into building the estate has already been taxed.
That's exactly right.
Your money. You should do what you want with it. The government should not have to step in and say, thanks for dying and providing a life's worth of service in providing us with the means to pay off our debt to the world government. We're going to take the half of what you already built up. Thank you very much.
Mike, I only want to say that caller's views are the majority and prevailing views in Congress. Okay, so I don't really want to use broadcast time today when we have the technical expertise we have here to talk about the underlying policy of the inheritance tax, yes or no. Those are legitimate policy disputes. But
sure.
Your caller's view is widely shared by the dominant party in Congress.
Great. Thanks, Scott. Here's John in Watsonville. You're on the air, John.
Hi, thanks for the show today.
Sure.
I heard Charlie this past week mention that in the health plan, there's going to be at some time a kick-in of a sales tax when you sell a property of 4.5%. I wonder if your folks there are experts on that or could mention it. And the other thing I'd like to hear them mention is what's going to happen to capital gains on January 1st. And I'll listen to the answer. Thank you.
Thanks very much. David, you want to take it on the capital gains?
So the capital gains rates are going to go up. There's a general tax increase. This is one of those things where the rates were lowered. I think it was early in the Bush administration, the Bush 2. And that's another thing that's sort of set to expire, and next year they're going to go up. So there's actually an interesting one thing that we've discussed with a few clients who are particularly wealthy, that you can get gift tax now. You might be able to give gifts instead of dealing with capital gains in the future and actually make a better deal out of it. But fundamentally, the fact is that virtually every tax there is going to go up next year.
Yeah, capital gains will go from 15% to 20%, which is a 33.3% increase. It's an enormous increase. As to the caller's other question about a 4.5% sales tax, I have heard discussions about that, but I am by no means well enough versed to talk
about
it.
I saw it in an email, and I don't think I forwarded that email to Charlie, but I'm sure it's widely being distributed.
Right. So I'm sorry. I just
a lot of things are buried in that bill.
Yeah,
a lot of things are buried that have nothing to do with health care.
I know.
Yeah.
I sort of think that one's actually somewhat apocryphal. Because that email's been floating around now for a year, or some version of it. And it seems to me I looked into that a while ago, and it turned out that my impression was it wasn't really a serious problem.
Oh. Okay, hope you're right.
I hope I'm right. I don't know.
Okay.
Now, do we have another caller?
Yeah, we sure do. Phil in Santa Cruz is our next caller. Phil, you're on the air on KSCO.
Yes. Everything that the government does and that they want us to think about is in terms of dollars. And one of the ways the government's stealing from us drastically is by devaluing the dollar. The Federal Reserve, with the blessing of this Congress and this administration, are creating dollars out of thin air in order to buy their own treasuries. And somewhere down the line, I think it's highly probable that there'll be hyperinflation, and that $1 million exemption could end up just being worth a few hundred bucks. So my question is there any provision in the current law to adjust that exemption for inflation?
No, there isn't.
Okay, it means in a few years it could be meaningless. They just take everything.
Yes.
That's my question. Thank you very much.
You're all welcome. Right. Next caller will be Taron, T-A-R-R-O-N. Hello, Taron.
Hello.
Am I saying your name right?
Close enough.
Okay, good. You're on the air.
Okay,
KLCO.
Thanks. I'd like to thank Tim and David and UMZ. I have a little more personal question. I live up above Felton, and my husband's disabled. He owns about 2 acres here, and we're not married. And he wants to give me the house and the property. But, number one, he is very concerned about him being on SSD and Medi-Cal, them sucking all the money, so there will be nothing left of the house to give to me. Because once he's gone, if he doesn't give the house to me, I'm homeless. You know, which is not a good solution. It's the last thing I want to be. So what can he do to protect me? I'm not trying to be selfish here. It's just the facts. You know, I don't want to be helpless because then it's a mess.
I'm just a little confused. Maybe you can help me.
Yeah.
I thought you said he was your husband, but that you are not married.
Well, I'll tell you, he's my ex-husband. I call him my husband, but I'm getting confused.
So you were married at one time?
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. I decided I didn't want to be married, that we were going to just live together, but we might as well be. But on paper, we are not married.
And is he on Medi-Cal?
Yes, he's on SSD and Medi-Cal.
Okay. And you are aware, of course, that it is the policy of the state of California to recover from a decedent's estate money that was spent under Medi-Cal.
Right, and we live in a very small 600-square-foot log cabin. It's not like we have some big, huge, giant mansion, and I can pretty much guarantee that all of the money that SSD and Medi-Cal has paid out in him is worth about what all of it is here. You know, which is not much. The last appraisal was at about $200,000,
mm-hmm.
And I know that he's already, the state and Fed has already forked out more than that on him just to keep him alive.
Mm-hmm. Well, I recommend that you probably contact an elder care attorney.
Okay.
Who could help you with that Medi-Cal planning. It's a little too technical to go into on the air.
Okay. I mean, could anything done, or am I pretty much, to say it bluntly, screwed?
I don't want to tell you that...
Just your opinion.
I don't want to tell you that it's hopeless, but
okay.
the time to get on top of this really is before the Medi-Cal application is made.
Okay, you guys, we got a split here for Fox News. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey,
you.
San Jose. It's 11 a.m.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. Israeli-Palestinian peace talks in peril. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas saying he's got the backing of key leaders in both the PLO and Fatah to halt talks if there are not curbs on Israeli settlement building. This after an hours-long meeting between Abbas and dozens of other Palestinian politicians. But it doesn't look like Israel's in a negotiating mood on this issue.
The prime minister here in Israel says he's not going to enact another construction freeze. The Palestinians said they are not going to return to the negotiating table with construction going on. They meet on Friday with the Arab League to try to figure out what they're going to do next.
Fox's Leland Vittertz in Jerusalem. As the midterm elections approach, it's rally season in D.C. A couple of weeks back, Glenn Beck drew a huge Tea Party crowd to the Washington Mall and Lincoln Memorial. Today, what's being called the One Nation March, organized by labor and civil rights groups, is drawing thousands to the same location for a Democratic political pep talk.
We've got to knock on doors. We've got to ring our church bells. We've got to get ready for the midterm exam. We can't stop in 08. We got to get ready in 10, from 10-2 to 11-2.
the Reverend Al Sharpton among the speakers, firing up the crowd. No break in that surge in drone-fired missile strikes in Pakistan.
The intelligence sources confirming to us today the CIA is expanding its campaign against militants in Pakistan in the Afghan border region, shifting aerial drones and weapons from the Afghan battlefront. And today's two additional deadly drone attacks are believed to be part of that mission, with 16 militants reportedly killed in North Waziristan by two suspected U.S. missile strikes.
Fox's Julie Kirch in D.C. Pakistan continuing to keep that border crossing into Afghanistan closed to U.S. and NATO supply trucks in retaliation for a NATO incursion that killed three Pakistani troops. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
You're in the Fox Light.
This week's Fox Light Music Release Roundup is filled with new music from old friends. Classic rockers return, Eric Clapton's first fresh studio album in years, Clapton, Neil Young's collaboration with Danielle Lanois, Lane Noise, Phil Collins covers Motown, Spectre, and Dusty Springfield on Going Back, the Doobie Brothers reteam with original producer Ted Templeman on World Gone Crazy, and Rolling Stone Ronnie Wood goes solo on I Feel Like Playing. 90s faves, Seal drops the numerically titled Seal 6, The Commitment, Gin Blossoms return with No Chocolate Cake, and Ben Folds adds music to writer Nick Hornby's lyrics on Lonely Avenue, and Kenny Chesney kicks out some new country on Hemingway's Whiskey. For more releases and reissues, check out the Fox Light blog and podcast at foxnewsradio.com. In New York, Rob Moorer, Fox News Talk.
The Fox Light.
Keep listening for more focus from the Fox Light on Fox News Talk.
Remember Minority Report, the Tom Cruise film where future police busted criminals before they committed crimes? Well, in Los Angeles, the future is now.
There are no psychics or crystal balls, but the Los Angeles Police Department says it's getting closer to actually predicting crime and hopefully preventing it before it ever happens. At the LAPD's ComStat unit, officers study years of previous crime data and plug it into computers. They then use that data to forecast when and where crime is most probable to occur. Working with scholars at UCLA, officers have been able to anticipate criminal behavior, which is why this predictive policing could be the way of the future across the country. In Los Angeles, Casey Stiegel, Fox News Radio.
He said it before, but he made it abundantly clear today. John McCain running for re-election to his Republican Senate seat in Arizona, telling a veterans rally in Nashua, New Hampshire, that, quote, I will not be running for president again. In 2012, the next presidential election year, McCain will be 76 years old. The Americans still in the lead over Europe in golf's Ryder Cup competition in Wales as Session 2 ends with a 6-4 U.S. victory.
He's back after a troubled year for Tiger Woods, the world's number one golfer, proving to be a key part of the U.S. Ryder Cup team. Partnered with Steve Stricker in what's become a formidable duo, Woods helping the Americans take a 2-point lead over the Europeans on Saturday. This after hours of delays Friday, thanks to rain-soaked greens that prompted tournament organizers to change the format for competition. U.S. Captain Corey Pavin says it makes his job easier.
Sitting four guys out is very brutal to do as a captain. It's nice now that all the guys are going out, and I'm pleased that this solution was thought of by very smart people other than myself.
The goal now, finish play by Sunday evening.
Fox's Laurie London.
Fox News Radio.
The New York-based British Airways for 747 taking off from London Heathrow today, then turning around, going right back. A door handle was moving. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. Partly sunny today. We're going to have a high of about 74, west-northwest winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight's going to be partly cloudy and a low of 52 with west-southwest winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday's going to be cloudy, high of 68, west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. And it looks like out on the Monterey Bay, the west winds 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 4 to 6 feet at 15 seconds. And tonight, west winds 5 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, northwest swell 4 to 6 feet at 14 seconds. Sunday, the west winds 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet with a northwest swell of 5 to 7 feet at 13 seconds. And for your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, nothing new to report at the moment. If you see something out there, give me a call, 475-1080. Current temperatures, Watsonville's at 66, it's 59 in Monterey. 65 in Salinas, we're at 63 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO studios. Official time, 11:06 and 35 seconds on this Saturday, October 2nd. Up next, we get the second hour of the Saturday special. Stay tuned, KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
How does it feel to be Nikki James?
It always feels good.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. We have a guest in the studio. We're going to have a quick little interviewette here before we go back to the meat of the show, before we have a K's commentary. Da-da-da-da! Wait a minute. Here, you know what I should do? We should make a big deal here. Okay? Ready? Okay, that's the fanfare for Kevin to introduce Kevin Hurley. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, how you doing, Michael?
Okay, good, good. Kevin's a good friend of KSCO, has been for years, and is has a report for us from the KSCO garage sale. What's the report?
Well, the garage sale is open right now, and we have lots of Youngevity products out there for sale. And you've come on in today, we have a discount of 15% off the products.
At least 15% of some, right?
Yes.
I mean, of everything?
Everything's 15%
off.
Oh,
my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
is that enough to get people to come in? I understand that the turnout has been absolutely sucky so far in the last hour. So that you're thinking about shutting down in an hour or so.
Yeah, well, we're definitely going to be open for today. And originally it was promoted to be open today and tomorrow. But we're deciding because it's so slow, we're going to probably be day only and close tomorrow.
Uh-huh. And I talked with Ginny, who was out there working with you, and she tells me that there are some surprise giveaways.
Oh,
you know about that?
No, I don't.
Okay. Yeah, well, so we'll tease people, and we'll hope that when they come down here and they find out what the surprise giveaways are, they're not shocked and horrified and said, "You tricked me to get me to come down here for this nothing?" You
know,
I don't think they're going to say that.
No, we'll have definitely surprise.
We have
giveaways.
To take really, really good care of our KSCO audience.
Oh, definitely.
And let them know that there's two things that happen when they come down. First of all, they get really good, high quality products at a discount.
Excellent, excellent products.
And number two, they help their favorite radio station.
Oh, definitely.
The money that is generated, 100% of the money goes right into the KSCO bank account. So that we can continue to run this radio station, which is unlike any other radio station on the planet. It's my understanding. And everybody's nodding his head here.
Yeah.
And everybody
I agree.
That I can see through my Miss Nancy romper room, you know, mirror, everybody in the audience is nodding his or her head, too, about KSCO being an absolutely unique radio station. In a world of it's so easy to have a radio station that's all automated. It's just like a computer in a closet. But this station has a heart and a soul and a personality, and everybody who knows us, listens to us, is hooked on us and loves us. And that's the way it should be.
That's right. And this is a great radio station. And to keep this radio station going, you need to come on down and buy some Youngevity products to keep
but
this
it's
radio
a win,
station.
But it's a win-win, too. We don't
it's
want people
win-win,
to think of it in terms of charity, although there is that aspect to it. I mean, it does help us. It really
right,
does. But it
does
helps
really
you,
help.
Too. It helps you, too. Because
oh,
if you
definitely.
Get into the habit of taking the products, you're going to feel a whole lot better. And I know, because I'm sort of sloppy.
Yeah.
I don't live with anybody to take care of me, you know. So when I forget to take my Youngevity products,
you can
I start feeling not as good.
Right. I agree with you 100%. And, you know, and taking the Youngevity products, it keeps you going and, you know, gives you energy. And, I mean, you feel a lot better.
It's the real deal.
It is the real deal.
And it's another way of supporting. By the way, we received an incredible donation. The largest donate in the I don't want to say how much it was. It was a lot of money.
Oh, great.
It was a lot of money. But so we're getting closer. We're more than halfway from our FCC fee, you know, fun thing. But the sale of the longevity products will help us get something, you know, that'll 100%. That money is all paid for. All those products are paid for. So that way, when someone comes and buys it and helps their own health too, they're also helping the radio station
by the exact amount.
So if for some reason you want to help the radio station and you've been meaning to make a donation, you can certainly do that through the website real easily or send a check to us. But if you come down today, you could basically get something back for it, which would be good for your health.
Yeah.
So I'm disappointed, gang, that I thought there would have been 500 people here by now.
We're hoping,
not 600, but six people.
They've all stayed home so they could listen to our scintillating discussion about.
Oh, maybe that's what
the
it
death
is.
Tax. We should get back to that.
Well, they could do that. They could do that anyhow.
Yeah.
Right?
So this is one thing. Another product that we have is True Chocolate. It's the last of the True Chocolate. Longevity has stopped carrying that product. But there is True Chocolate here. So if anybody that loves True Chocolate, come on down and buy what's left.
Okay.
All right.
And that's a 2300 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz at the KSCO Garage. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it. And let's see. We're going to get back to our discussion here, but we keep to the format. We do have a new K's commentary. Nikki is actually, we do have a new K's commentary, and Nikki will play that in just a moment, so we will be right back. Stay tuned.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is K's Whirling.
The following is an encore commentary from April 15, 2006, and it is in my forthcoming book. Weighing in on the present immigration mess, first, close the borders. Ignore the marches who wish to undermine our laws. Those here illegally must obey the laws, must learn English, apply for citizenship, and wait the same amount of time as those who come in legally. No driver's licenses, no voting rights until they become legal citizens. That's what I think. No more amnesty. Furthermore, no more voting ballots in any language other than English, because that's idiotic. No more pandering to foreign newcomers. All of these related troubles stem from self-serving leaders in both political parties whose main concern is and has always been re-election and vying for newcomers' votes. Those leaders left the borders open on purpose. Both political parties for over two decades are responsible for the 11 million illegals here. Thank you, President Ford. Thank you, George Herbert Walker Bush. Thank you, President Clinton and George W. Bush, for your deliberate failures. Since the word felon has been used so loosely, I submit it is our delinquent leadership, the presidents and Congress, who by their inaction in upholding the laws of our land are the real felons. There's only one special political leader, like a voice in the wilderness, who stands out, who for years pleaded with the legislature to protect our borders from illegals, criminals, and terrorists. And to him we must say, kudos to you, Tom Tancredo, because you cared and you tried. So, what's the difference in 4 years? There are probably 30 million illegals here now, and they are becoming bold, and they march for their rights, like they demand Social Security, and our liberal leaders want to find a way to give it to them at the expense of we the people. We are truly losing our country. I am haunted by the passing words of my Cabrillo professor in 1967, who predicted that before long, the United States would become a third world country. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Thank you, Ma. Way to go. So we're back, and as we get into hour number two of the Saturday death tax special with Tim Morgan and David Howell, I want to thank our sponsor of this program, the California Grill Restaurant at the corner of Airport Boulevard and Freedom Boulevard in Freedom, California. Wonderful, I would call it gourmet food. at Not Gourmet Food Prices. Paul and Neely Tarabi are the owners, and never had a bad meal there. I strongly urge you to go and check out, especially if you liked and miss the old Adolph's restaurant on Water Street in Santa Cruz. The Adolph's chef is alive and well, and the menu was there at California Grill, and that wonderful salad dressing, you know, with the tangy chunks of tomato. It's all there. It's all there. And they've got the chicken with artichokes is to die for, the veal scallopini, and the turkey sandwiches. Oh, my God, I'm starting to drool all over the microphone. Is your radio wet? My microphone is drenched. Anyhow, do go to the California Grill, and when you go there, thank them for sponsoring the KSCO Saturday special, and be sure to tell them MZ sent you. Hey there, Tim Morgan.
Hey there, Mike.
Hey there, David Howell. You there? You there, David? Oh, no, he's not there because I have to put him on the air. Here. Okay, now you're there, right?
Now I'm here.
Okay, good, thanks.
Michael, as we get back to this topic, maybe a good place to restart is to say that one thing we would try to do for a client is figure out how to reduce the estate that's subject to taxation. And there's several strategies for that. So that I want to talk about that a little bit. The other thing is, okay, what can be done on the other side to make other resources available to pay taxes if it comes to that?
Okay, great.
Let's actually start with that. One overlooked device, and I say it's overlooked because as the exemptions have grown, as I talked about, ultimately becoming $3.5 million in 2009, for most average people, it hasn't been necessary to think about this critically. Now it is, because now we've got an estate tax that's going to hit people here where they live and hit them hard. The device that we used to talk about more and we're going to see a lot more of again is a life insurance product called an irrevocable life insurance trust. In the trade, it's called an ILIT. That allows someone, through setting up a proper trust, to acquire a term life insurance policy, get it paid for, the way you can pay for it, and on the death of the decedent, all of the money in that policy is excluded from the decedent's estate. And if it wasn't set up that way, all of the money that policy would pay would become part of the decedent's estate, and to the extent the estate exceeded $1 million, would be taxed at 55%. So that's a way to make a large amount of money available through insurance and keep it out of your estate and avoid death tax on it. It's very doable, very feasible, and a lot of people are going to have to start thinking about it. The problem is with that product, as people get well beyond middle age, then the cost of the term policy becomes quite expensive. So it's really, really appropriate.
And when the people get really old, it's my understanding that the insurance companies basically have no limit in how much they can raise the insurance premium every year.
Depends on the underlying contract, but typically, let's say after 20 years, right, unless you've got an unusual contract and locked it in, that's right. So that's something that's important for a lot of people maybe who are between 40 and 60 years of age to be thinking about, okay? Now, what can you do on the other side to reduce the total value of your estate? Because obviously, if you're over $1 million, then every dollar you don't have in there is depriving the government of 55 cents
sure.
of tax,
sure.
okay?
Sure.
Well, we have what we call a unified gift and estate tax, so that somebody listening might say, gosh, the easiest way to get something out of my estate is simply give it away before I die, and then I don't have it, and there's
yeah.
no problem.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with that is the government has thought of that, too. So during your life, you can give away up to $1 million worth of property, cash, land, antiques, things, and that counts against, dollar for dollar, your exemption, your $1 million exemption. So if you've given away $1 million worth of stuff, you don't have that $1 million exemption. So at the first dollar, a 55% tax rate is going to kick in. So it's not as simple as just saying I'm going to give everything away and then I'll avoid the estate tax at the end of my life. There are strategies to do it carefully.
Mm-hmm.
One is a person can give away $13,000 worth of either money or other property per donee per year, tax-free. No gift tax is payable by the person who makes the gift.
Right.
And that does not include, it's not included in that $1 million lifetime exemption. Let's say I have 10 grandchildren, and I have enough money that I want to give each one of them $13,000 a year. And I'm married, and my spouse wants to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So together, she and I can give $26,000 per grandchild. We have 10 grandchildren.
$260,000 a year.
That doesn't begin to impact my $1 million lifetime exemption.
Right.
And I have now shifted more than $250,000 out of my estate tax-free.
Yeah.
If that was in my estate and I died and it's at 55%, you can calculate what the tax would be.
Sure.
So people who have enough resources to make gifting possible, that's a very important consideration.
And you're not limited to gifting to relatives.
Oh, no.
You know, you can give to anybody. You can give to a friend.
Of course.
If you have 100 friends and 10 relatives that you want to gift to, that 13,000 limit, that's per year, right?
Per year, per donor.
Hasn't that been going up a little bit?
Sure. It increased steadily as the exemptions increased that I talk about.
So that's a really good way to get rid of your cash.
Yes. And let's say we have the unfortunate situation where somebody, well, before I say that, gifts ordinarily made within 3 years of a decedent's death are brought back in for purposes of computing the value of the decedent's estate. So let's say you have a lot of money, and less than 3 years before you die, you make a gift. When you die, the value of that gift is going to be added back into your estate. Now, there's an exception, and that is those $13,000 a year gifts that are not subject to gift tax because they're under the annual exclusion amount, those are not brought back in. So a very common fact pattern would be, and it'll be very common next year, if somebody is dying and they're in the hospital and they have an estate of a size where estate tax is going to be due.
Yeah.
Right there, we'll have them make gifts up to $13,000 per donee because that's not brought back in. It passes tax-free, and it saves 55 cents on the dollar of the estate tax.
Here's a
question.
So
it's a hugely important thing to do.
Now, suppose, you know, there are many people that I know of who are property rich and cash not so rich.
Right.
I wouldn't say poor, but not because, you know, you got to have a certain amount of cash to pay the
damn. Yeah, but they're illiquid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Can you do the suppose you had a house, suppose you had a property, a piece of real estate that was worth, $130,000. There's probably not too much around here that's only worth $130,000. But suppose you did, just for round numbers.
Sure.
And there were 10 people that you wanted to give $13,000 to, and you just gave 1/10 interest in your property to those. Will that count?
Yes. And
it gets a little complicated with a deed that has 13 or, you know, 10 people.
There are various ways to do it, but that's certainly one way to do it. And what you would want to do is make sure that you had a solid basis for the value. So you probably want to get an appraisal.
Sure. Yeah.
And then do it. And then, but yes, absolutely.
So you're not limited to cash.
No, and you can do it with fractional interests in personal property, like antiques.
No,
people can be very creative.
Yeah, and make it so that you reduce your estate to $1 million or something where there isn't, down to the exemption.
Exactly.
Even if the exemption is very low, which we know that it will be, but unless things change.
Now, what we've just been talking about the last 5 minutes is how do we shift property out of our ownership and get rid of it. Okay, well, there's another thing to think about. How do we shift property so that we still continue to have the beneficial use of it, but it's not going to be included in our taxable estate when we die? And that involves the use of a trust.
Oh.
And it really works where you have a married couple. And the reason that's important is each person, each taxpayer, has the $1 million lifetime exemption credit available. So that's why we say the estate tax starts at 55% over the first million. That first million is the exemption we're talking about. Well, if property is held in a way that on the death of the first spouse, everything passes to the second spouse, the surviving spouse, and then the surviving spouse dies, she can only use her $1 million exemption. That means the $1 million exemption of the first spouse to die has gone unused. It's been wasted.
Oh, my God.
And that's a terrible thing.
It is.
So if we set it up right, we can utilize the first spouse's $1 million exemption to shield up to half of the property or all of their separate property, up to $1 million. And then we can use the second $1 million exemption to shield the property of the second spouse when he or she dies. That's how we can pass $2 million tax-free, whereas if we don't do that, we can only pass $1 million tax-free. That really becomes the basic tool of the estate planner to minimize estate taxes, a properly constructed trust of that sort. That's huge. That's the main tool in the arsenal.
Right.
It has the secondary wonderful effect of avoiding probate and the costs associated with going through the court to settle an estate. Those costs are established by the probate code. So they're costs for appraisers set by statute, for the personal representative set by statute, for the attorney set by statute, and there are time periods built in, so it's very difficult to conclude a probate estate in less than a year, frankly. It's all a public process. Everybody knows your business. Well, if you don't want that result, if you have a properly drafted trust and properly funded, you can avoid all of that.
And that's been the case for many years, that it's a smart thing to do.
Yes.
There's nothing that's happening in 3 months from now that is making that a better thing to do than it's always been, right?
Well, no. In fact, what is happening in 3 months makes it critically necessary. We've gotten used to the fact over the last few years when the exemption amounts have increased that it's really been unnecessary for most people to use a trust for tax avoidance, for tax mitigation purposes, because their estates haven't been subject to the tax. Uh-huh. I mean, you know.
You used avoidance. Avoidance,
yes.
The government doesn't like that word. They'll put you in jail.
That's why,
right?
I very quickly substituted.
And
yeah.
Mitigation is always a safe word to use when you're talking about the government doing anything.
Yes.
Because it's mitigating.
That's right.
It's mitigated.
So
if you've avoided taxes, there's a good chance you're going to go to jail.
You're a very astute listener. So this tool has been underutilized for tax planning purposes, I would say, in the last 6 or 7 years, because for most people who live around here, the exemptions have been large enough that they don't need to worry about it. But now, in 3 months, the exemption is going to drop to $1 million. And as a result, people who didn't need to worry about it before now need to worry about it, especially if they've got anything over $1 million in their combined estate. A husband and wife, if they've got more than $1 million together, they need to be worried about this. And let me say again, that includes the value not only of their home, and the contents of their home, and their cars, their retirement, their life insurance, any property they've inherited, it all adds up. And particularly if you're looking at people our age now, Michael, baby boomers, I think we can safely say, odds are that a lot of baby boomers either have or are about to inherit from their parents. That's in their estate. So now, if let's say that in their work life, maybe they're now about 60 years old, and they have a house and some retirement and things, and they're thinking, okay, we were worth about $800,000, $900,000. That's our, you know, well, all of a sudden now they're going to inherit maybe $500,000 from the death of their second parent. Now they're well above $1 million, and they need to be worrying about this.
Right.
Pretty sobering, isn't
it? Big time, yeah.
And that's a fact pattern we have here.
The man whose voice you hear, besides mine, is Tim Morgan. And Tim is an attorney in town, practices with David Howell, who is on the telephone. And if you want to get in touch with Tim and David, what's a phone number or a website or both?
Well, we got both. Let me give the phone number first. Obviously, in the 831 area code, it's 429-9841. That's 429-9841. Our website is www.timothyjmorgan.com.
Timothy is spelled T-I-M-O-T-H-Y.
That's right, like in the Bible.
Okay. Morgan. TimothyJMorgan.com.
Correct.
Okay. Very good. And, if someone wanted to have a consult with you, just give a call
or go to the webpage, and they can link to us by email from the webpage.
Sounds great. So let's see. It is now 28 minutes before 12 noon. We're talking about death taxing, which is going to be it's becoming more important by the day here, because on January 1st, everything's going to change. And if you want to give us a call, ask a question, the phone number to call is 479-1080. It's KSCO Radio, the second hour of the Saturday special. My name is MZ, and again, my guests are Tim Morgan and David Howell. Let's go back to the phone lines right now. Brian in Aptos, you're on the air on KSCO.
Thank you, Tim and David and MZ, for having me.
Sure.
You bet, Brian.
You talked earlier about $1 million triggering this clobbering tax, and I actually have a story for my own life. I have a grandmother who died in, I think, 2000 or 2001. She lived off of $600 or $800 a month, drove a Volvo, and had just a modest home up in Aptos, and we absolutely got clobbered by this tax. The effects of the tax dictated where her grandkids, me, went to college, who went to college, you know, and everything. So it's the idea that $1 million is a lot of money is not the case from what I'm hearing today. And that's certainly something, you know, true for my own life, for my own experience. And my parents are set up to do the same thing when they die. So I don't know what we can do about that.
Well, Brian, your point is so well taken, and that's why we contrasted Central Coastal California values, prices, with the Midwest, because everything is inflated here, but there's no adjustment in this law for inflation as it affects regions of the country. So when you hear that somebody has $1 million estate, your inclination is to think they are rich. But as we said earlier, if you have to spend $30,000 to $40,000 for a car, as a percentage of $1 million, that's very significant, which makes you think then, wow, $1 million doesn't buy that much anymore.
Well, I was pretty offended when this tax came down, because the language out there is that it only affects the rich, and this certainly wasn't the case with my dear grandmother, who lived very modestly in Aptos, like most people do. And she just absolutely got clobbered, everything. Like, we lost the home that we thought we were going to inherit from her and everything. And I'm to the point in my life where I want to encourage my parents to do some planning so it doesn't happen to me. I'm an only child, also in Aptos. They have a home. They have a rental property. And I don't know what we can do, but I'm trying to get them off their hands.
Well, the very first thing they can do, the basic thing, would be to have a trust with a credit shelter trust and a survivor's trust to preserve fully up to $1 million exemption that each would have. So $2 million of an estate could pass in the death of the second spouse. If they don't do that, then that is it is painfully negligent on their part not to have done all that they can do to protect what will be going.
You don't want to say it. I'll say it. Stupid.
Well, I'm to the point for my...
But it's very awkward for you because, you know, you don't want to come off like the guy who's waiting for the parents to die, you know.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that.
But, Brian, you know, your point is so well taken. Maybe parents aren't thinking about this too much. Maybe they're very consumed about, you know, having fun with their grandchildren and maybe looking forward to retirement. And they're really not focusing on that. We all know bad things happen unexpectedly. And this is something that really should not be put off. And as we say, on January 1st, unless Congress does something, any asset over $1 million is going to be taxed at 55%. And if you can absolutely, totally avoid that by some planning, get it done. And that what that means is a person like you, looking at your parents, you need to encourage them to get off the dime. Help them make an appointment, you know, work with them, make it happen. Because most people, when they're thinking about their own affairs, it's just easier to put it off indefinitely.
Right, because when I look at my parents, and I'm sure the assets they have total, not in cash, of course, is over what you said, $1 million. So, and I look at that, and I go, they don't have $1 million to pay, or $500,000 to pay this tax. It's going to come from somewhere. We're going to have to sell a home, or something majorly is going to get disrupted. And then my understanding is that probate is really expensive, and I'm to the point where I'm almost going to fork over whatever it takes to get this taken care of right now myself, just to encourage them to do it. I don't know what the costs are associated with this.
Well, typically, I mean, in our office, if it's a husband and a wife, and they've got assets of, you know, in the range we've been talking about in this program, we can basically take care of getting everything set up for them, a properly drawn trust, pour over wills, durable powers of attorney, health care directives, certificates, deeds, everything really to lock it in for between $2,000 and $2,500. Okay? What does that buy? That buys, the kind of protection we've been talking about against estate tax by properly utilizing the exemptions that are available, and B, it avoids probate and all the costs and delays you're talking about. Does that mean that on the death of the first spouse or the second spouse, there's nothing to do and that it's free and that the heirs won't have to pay anything? No. There are obviously going to be some things that will need to be done. Subtrusts need to be funded. Property needs to be distributed. There need to be appraisals, all that sort of stuff. But that is a fraction of the cost as if you had to go through probate. So you're living in a fool's paradise if you put this off.
No, I think I'm, again, to the point where I'm going to fork over my own money to help them get this rolling. And I understand that they may have a sizable IRA account as well. I'm not sure the effects of that with what we're...
Well, you bring up a very good point. I have said earlier that assets in tax-deferred accounts, such as IRAs, are includable in the estate of the decedent, even though they are paid on death automatically to another person, let's say a spouse or a child. So that means you need to consider that in computing the value of the estate, and because the exemption is now going to be so low, and because so many people own as part of their portfolio an IRA or other tax-deferred investments, we need to do what we have avoided basically doing in the past. What we've avoided doing is having these IRAs and tax-deferred accounts as part of a trust, because it's very tricky when it's part of a trust. But if you don't have them integrated with the trust, then you can miss out on the opportunity to shield this up to $1 million if you set things up properly, which means many of our old trusts are going to have to be amended, and then these retirement accounts, some of them brought into trust form of ownership using a conduit trust provision that is now sort of circulating, so that these amounts will be available to fund the Credit Shelter Trust or the Bypass Trust, so that even though a significant component of this couple's estate is tax-deferred accounts or IRAs, nonetheless, we can have the benefit of the full utilization of their exemption credits. So that's going to require revisiting a lot of older estate plans, and it's going to require a very careful analysis of the retirement holdings of a lot of new clients. So you raise a really great point.
Well, a bit of what you said is over my head. I'm just an average, you know, Santa Cruz, and it's pretty... Some of this sounds complex, but I'm understanding that even though it's payable on death to my dad and then to me, this IRA is going to be taxed.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Brian, you might want to give Tim and David a call.
That's 429-9841, Brian. Yeah.
Okay, I'll get a pen.
429-9841. Okay, thanks for your call. We got other calls to move in.
I'd like to add something on Brian's call there, actually.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Something Brian mentioned in passing, but that is a real concern for a lot of people, is when the estate tax does come due, let's say you haven't done the planning right, how do you pay it? The estate tax has to be paid within, I think, 9 months of the date of death of the person whose estate is being taxed. Very often, the assets are going to be, there won't be sufficient liquid assets to cover things if real property is a big part of the estate. You know, you're selling something. You're selling.
Can you pay it by just signing over, you know, a piece of real property to the government?
I don't think so.
No more than you can pay the car repair bill by signing over a part of the pink slip.
Oh.
So, okay. You know, you've got to sell it off. And because there are a lot of small businesses that are held in S-corporation kind of formats or you know, small partnerships or small LLCs or what have you, where a big chunk of the value of the person's estate is this business that was maybe going to get handed down to the sons or the daughters or whatever. Well, you got to pay the tax. And so it's a real concern that you got to sell the family home, you got to sell the business, something that's big enough to cover the liabilities, or you got to take out probably very unfavorable loans under a kind of difficult situation. So you're faced with not only a big tax bill, but a big tax bill that's due pretty fast. And, you know, in Santa Cruz County, this is a bit of a problem. One of the kinds of companies or one of the organizations that have really been hit by this in the past have been family farms, where you've got a huge value in the land, and you got to get the liquid cash somewhere to pay the tax man, which means literally selling the farm.
Well, not only the value of the land, David, but, you know, the improvements and all the equipment and... And now there are special rules for agricultural property to enter into an agreement with the IRS and pay the tax over years, but it's got to stay in agricultural production. But even there, it can be an enormous amount of money. Look, 55 cents on every dollar over a million, that's huge. And most farms cannot sustain that kind of a loss of the principal value. So basically what that means is they're forced with going out of business.
Okay. Brian, thanks for your call. We're going to take a break here. We have Jim in Scotts Valley, Kevin in Santa Cruz, Rory in Watsonville, and Terry in Capitola. We promise we'll get to you, but we're going to have to step up the pace here, I'm afraid, here. But we do have these commercial messages for you. So please listen to those and support our advertisers who make the radio station happen. So we'll be back in a few moments.
Hi, I am Jeff Taylor, and I want to be your representative in Congress. I am an independent thinker running as the Republican candidate. Like 90% of President Obama's cabinet members, Sam Farr is a career politician who believes in high taxes and big government. It's no wonder the deficit and unemployment rates are skyrocketing. Let's face it, people are struggling and the future looks grim. Our current Congressman, Sam Farr, is part of the problem. Unlike the Farrs, my family, the Taylor family, has been building businesses, growing our local economy, creating jobs, and generating those tax dollars that career politicians love to spend. It's time to replace them with problem solvers like me. I will work to bring about economic stability, create new jobs, and secure our future. Please visit my website, tell me what you think. And join my team at www.taylorforcongress.com. Vote Jeff Taylor for Congress this November. I will go to work for you. Thank you. I'm Jeff Taylor, running for the 17th Congressional District, and I endorse this message.
Storms, thefts, accidents. You can't predict what will happen, but you can prepare for what may happen. Hi, I'm Clay Timmons at DCD Insurance Services in Santa Cruz. Allied will insure your home for some of the most competitive rates available today. And if you insure your auto with the Allied Group, you'll enjoy combined savings of up to 30%. Protect yourself from what may happen. Call us at DCD Insurance Services, 877-378-9068, or visit dcdis.com.
As a Central Coast grower, you face many risks every day. Hi, I'm Marco Martinez with DCD Insurance Services here in Santa Cruz. A good way to manage risks is with an Allied Group AgriChoice Insurance Plan. DCD and Allied, a nationwide company, will insure your farm's equipment, liability, and property for some of the most competitive rates available. And with Allied's premier 24-hour-per-day service and DCD's 70 years of service to the community, your farm is protected. Call us at 877-378-9068 or visit dcdis.com. DCD and Allied nationwide are always on your side. Se habla español.
The following public service message is brought to you by the Good Neighbors of SantaCruzCounty.org.
John, we have to rent the beach house for our annual Thanksgiving weekend.
We can't go this year, Blanche. There's a new ordinance for Santa Cruz County that says we'd have to rent for a whole week.
That's crazy. We've rented that same beach house every Thanksgiving weekend for the last 18 years.
Yeah, well, now we're going to have to rent it for 7 days minimum. We can't afford that, Blanche.
Who is behind this idiotic proposal?
County Supervisor Leopold from the Live Oak District. And no one gets to vote on it. He's just going to push it through.
But, John, that's not fair. Can't we do anything about it?
Yes, we can. There's a County Housing Advisory Commission meeting at Live Oak Elementary School at 6:30, Wednesday, October 6th.
Well, that's an easy date to remember, John. It's our anniversary. We can go downtown to protest, then have dinner afterwards. It'll be fun.
Ooh, that's right, Blanche. I knew that date was etched in my mind for some reason.
Oh, you're so full of it, John.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Microwave repair.
Robotic arm with controller for eShed industrial arm.
Tesla coil for my rail gun.
Dead tricks upgrades.
Drive for a telescope.
A tube amp for my guitar.
Submersible sensors for NASA.
Ethernet cable for my new iMac.
Solar powered gate.
Instrument panel for an airplane.
Wiring my hot rod.
Upgrading PC system.
Help with home wiring.
Custom audio cables for recording studio.
High voltage electronic ignition circuit.
Building a spaceship.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 SoCal Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Collier, a web designer and internet marketing specialist. I heard an ad that's been running on KSCO, the one about the grocery business affiliate marketing opportunity. I thought it was interesting, so I got on the phone with JR, the guy running the ad. The system he described to me seemed like a neat way to make a little extra cash and help cover our monthly expenses, a bright ray shining through a dark economy. So I decided to join and get to work, using my internet background and experience to start running my own ads for this opportunity on the web. Since I learned about this business from a KSCO radio ad, it made sense to run my own ad on the KSCO.com website. Don't be down and out. Check it out and learn all about this business. Go to KSCO.com and watch the animated video in the upper right corner of the homepage. I invite you to join me, making some money and having some fun.
Okay, we are back. Interesting ad, that last one that you heard. I understand people are, it's a very intriguing business opportunity here. And I understand from talking to people who have called JR at, what's that number, 428-2743, that when they finish talking to him, they are quite intrigued. So And I've known JR for many, many years, and he's a straight-up wonderful guy. And I recommend that you call him if that ad that you heard from Jonathan Collier, the last in the last stop set, is of any interest to you at all. JR is at 428-2743. It's MZ in the Saturday special. We're in the closing 9 or 10 minutes thereof. We're talking death tax. we're talking death tax with Tim Morgan and David Howell. And if you want to get in touch with Tim or David, their law office is in Area 831 in Santa Cruz, 429-9841. The website is Timothy, T-I-M-O-T-H-Y, J. Morgan, M-O-R-G-A-N.com. And they would welcome a call or an email from you to talk about your particular situation. And I've known Tim for 44 years. I've known David for a couple, 2 or 3 years now. They're both great guys, and they know what they're talking about. So do give them a call or send an email, because I'm sure they can help you. Back to the phone lines we go now. Jim in Scotts Valley, welcome to the Saturday special. You're on the air.
Great program today. Unfortunately, I missed the first part, and I don't know if you've raised this issue.
You will be able to hear a rerun of this and every Saturday special, by the way, at 10 p.m. tonight.
Oh,
from 10
great.
To midnight, if you tune into KSCO. Or if you want to hear a rerun, you know, on demand on your schedule, it won't be posted probably until later this afternoon or evening. But ultimately, it will be posted on KSCO.com in the podcast section. You can hear any Saturday special back to 1996, you know, and there are some real, you know, fun ones.
Doozies.
Yeah, exactly. So anyhow, I just thought I'd let you know. But go ahead with your question, Jim.
With so much real estate being underwater these days, so let me give you an example. Suppose a piece of property was valued at $2 million, and there was a mortgage against it of $2 million. Is there going to be a tax of $550,000 on on that particular situation?
The adjusted gross estate.
And how would the beneficiary be able to handle that?
The adjusted gross estate, Jim, is calculated by taking current market value of assets minus liabilities. So in the case of real property subject to a mortgage, we'd take the current market value and would subtract any outstanding mortgage. And that could, of course, result in a negative number. So there's no tax on a negative number, and in your example, there'd be no tax.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, thanks very much.
You bet.
Okay. Next caller is Rory in Watsonville. Hey, Rory, you're on the air on KSCO with Tim Morgan and David Howell.
Yes, thanks for taking my call, and we're all too familiar with the Form 706 as a family. So
that's right. For the listeners, that's the federal estate tax return, Form 706.
Quick question, and I missed the beginning, but did you cover the history when this tax started? I understood it to be a tax to raise money for World War II.
We didn't talk about the history of it. If you'd like to make a short little summary of it, you can.
Well, that's my understanding. My father was in finance, and that's what he told me. He said it was designed to raise money for the war effort, and they should have killed the thing at the end of the war. I was just curious if you knew what the origination was of the tax.
I know it was post-1930s.
Okay.
So
maybe anyhow. The other thing is there any – we've already been through it, my folks had a Intervivos Trust, and they did all they could do to shelter what they could.
And again, for listeners, Intervivos simply means during life or living, a living trust.
A living trust, exactly. So the question is, when if Congress does nothing, does it automatically revert to a $1 million exemption? And
yes, because that's the law. And the current the current zero tax is part of that law.
Right.
So they don't have, it's not that they have to do anything. That's what's going to happen because that's the law.
No, that exemption, it really ought to be like $20 million because they're killing middle class people left and right with this thing. I mean, we went through it. We had to sell some assets to make the payment, and it wasn't pretty.
Yeah.
No, you're right. And I mean, a million is a joke. And as I said at the outset, nobody sat around in a room and said, okay, what is an appropriate exemption? Gosh, it's a million. No, a million was picked because it's ridiculously low and it would require Congress to act.
Yeah, we just got to kill the thing. I don't know what to say. People, talk to your congressional members.
A constitutional amendment to make it illegal to double tax anything.
Or you could consider, you know, pestering our Congressman Farr into taking this up when Congress comes back as a lame duck session, get on it and get it done before the end of the year.
Boy, that would get him, that might get him reelected.
So,
Thank you, gentlemen.
Rory, thanks for calling. Terry and Capitola, you're the last caller on the Saturday special today.
Yeah, a couple real quick things. First of all, this whole thing just makes my head explode. It's like a gigantic game of Mother May I, where if you don't do everything according to Hoyle, you lose your money.
Yeah. It should make you mad.
Is this warm board, Terry? I think it is, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay, hi, Terry.
Yeah, we should need to do lunch, by the way. Yeah, we'll touch this time.
Okay, all right, my turn.
All right. Second thing is the owner of the Miami Dolphins had the poor wisdom to die a few years ago, and his family had to sell the team. George Steinbrenner had the good wisdom to die this year, and his family retained the team. There's an example of the consequences of this.
Of course.
And then lastly, and I know this is not supposed to be a political program, but I'll throw out a political pitch. Anybody who has not familiarized themselves with the fair tax should. And Michael, you should do a show on the fair tax.
Okay. We will do it. Maybe next week.
All right. But everybody look up the fair tax. It solves this whole problem.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you much, Terry. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Terry.
Okay, so that's it for the callers here. It's 11:57 a.m. on your favorite radio station, KSCO AM 1080, and elsewhere in the Pacific time zone. You know, I got fired once for doing the snow phone. My first job in radio, it was at a station in Berkeley. I wasn't an on-the-air guy, but I got to have fun doing the pre-recorded snow ski reports.
Yes.
Right? And I got fired from my first job in radio for saying compressed white delight instead of packed powder snow. So we've warned you not to mess around with that. You know. So
Well, maybe we can wrap this up a little bit and invite David, who drafts so many of these instruments, just to make some closing comments.
Yeah.
Well, I'd just say that for the listeners out there, Tim talked about the standard trust that we can do for people, and that really is a very fine instrument for people who have a sort of what on the Central Coast is really ordinary kind of situation. There are a variety of other things that can be done, more exotic kinds of trusts and other planning strategies that are really tailored to certain kinds of specific circumstances. But, you know, there's a lot that can be done. Businesses can be set up and arranged in such a way that value can be protected from IRS taxation. You can have certain kinds of charitable trusts set up. You can have a trust that deals with your main residence and sort of gives it to your children in a way that gives it to them before you pass away, but at a discounted rate so you can, again, hide some value. So there's a lot of things that can be done in addition to the basic trust. So, you know, there is really not all hope is lost, but it's fair to say that all hope is lost if you don't do anything. So we have a large set of tools in the toolbox that we can help you, and it's all fact-specific. And I'd say one thing that, not to disrespect another advertiser on the station, I guess really on Rush's show, but there are self-help kinds of things that you can do to plan your estate. And if you have the right circumstance, which is really sort of very little property, and you just want a simple will, I mean, maybe that's okay. If you've got property and you're worried about this stuff, it would behoove you to have it done right. We have spent a fair amount of time fixing mistakes and things that didn't get done right and didn't get finished in the self-help kinds of things. So it's prudent to come see us and talk to us. And then we can make something that really fits your specific circumstance and uses the tools that are appropriate for you and give you the maximum benefit from your estate planning. So
great.
I guess that's my plug.
David, thanks very much for being with us. Tim, always a pleasure.
Thank you,
again,
Michael.
Again, your phone number for your law office is 429-9841 in area 831. The website is timothyjmorgan.com. These guys know what they're doing, so give them a call if you want them to help you, keep some of your money here. So before the big change coming on January 1st, it's been the Saturday special. We're already spilled into Fox News here, so I'm gonna give you a little update. Amazing things are happening with our Alex Jones event that's scheduled for the 24th of October. 6 p.m. at the Coconut Grove on Beach Street in Santa Cruz. As of 9 a.m. today, we've sold 372 tickets by people going to KSCO.com. The tickets are $10.80 each. I'm getting a few emails from people who are confused. When they buy a ticket via PayPal at KSCO.com, or if they buy, one person bought 20 tickets. One person bought 10 tickets. Most people are buying two tickets. They can buy however many you want times $10.80. But some people have been asking me, like, here's an email that just came in. Dear MZ, I bought some Alex Jones tickets yesterday via PayPal and noticed that no shipping address had been applied to my receipt. Do I have to pick up my tickets at will call, or do you need my address to send the tickets? Please advise. Okay, a number of people have sent me, not a huge number, but three or four people, and my answer is the same. Your receipt is your ticket. Just print it out and make sure you bring it with you and have it at the door. We'll check off, and if it has one ticket on it, if it has 10 or 20 tickets on it, we'll check it off on against our master list at the door. That will be at 6 p.m. On the evening of the big event. Golly, we must have sold 200 tickets in 10 minutes yesterday when Alex Jones mentioned it on his national show. And I'm sure there are hundreds of people who listen to Alex Jones via the Internet. He is the top Internet personality, audio or video, in the world. I'm not exaggerating, ladies and gentlemen. It's amazing what someone who has been called and is still called a fringe character is gaining so much recognition through the Internet. And we're doing our part to expose Alex Jones to the world of broadcasting. So anyhow, if you want to see Alex Jones, you can do it by going to KSCO.com and buying your tickets there. We will sell out. It is an absolute certainty that we're going to sell out. So if you have any interest in seeing it, the ticket cost is $10.80 each. And go to KSCO.com. That's the only place you can get it. And save your receipt and print it out and bring it with you to the door. That receipt will be your ticket. One more word about the sale going on, the longevity product sale going on at the garage. Since Kevin and I did that little interview at the top of the 11 o'clock hour, quite a number of more people have shown up. They will be here for the rest of the day, but they probably won't be here tomorrow unless you give them a reason to be. The products are excellent. And you should show up and buy those products. It'll be good for you, and it'll be good for the radio station. And it's right here at the garage at 2300 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz, your favorite radio station. So that's about it. This is KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. Great job, Nikki. Thank you very much. And we now join Fox News almost over.
Lord of the Rings fans are legion, and now it looks like they've got something to look forward to.
Whether or not he gets his precious, Middle-earth will be back. Adil is reported to be near for director Peter Jackson to begin shooting a two-part version of Tolkien's The Hobbit early next year. The project has been tied in knots because of the partnership of two studios, Warner and MGM, and for more than a year, MGM has been virtually out of cash. Published reports say the wheeling and dealing is nearly over. The two films to be shot together are expected to run close to $500 million to make. The first Hobbit film expected in mid-December 2012. The second 1 year later, they will be in 3D.
Fox's Bill Vitka. New York City being hit with a lawsuit by parents of a teenager killed in a car crash 5 years ago. They say they had no idea. His brain had been removed and is now on display in a city morgue. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Even though I cut a wonderful promo for Pollen Burst and the Longevity product garage sale this weekend, we want a huge turnout, so we will sell out. So I'll invoke an additional approach. I'll use my irritating but effective Billy Mays voice. Join Ginny Sullivan and her crew this Saturday and Sunday at the KSCO garage for another epic Longevity product sale. Step right up and invest in your good health with minerals, Cherry Mints, OsteoFX Plus, EFAs, Tangy Tangerines, Ultimate Classic, and much more. Do you have an arthritic Aminal? Get some Arthrodex and watch your pet start behaving noticeably better and in less pain or discomfort. We have so many canisters of Bloomin' Mineral Soil Additive, both liquid and granulated, that you should buy some and add it to your plants immediately. Start your own personal farmer's market. Don't miss this event this Saturday and Sunday at the KSCO Garage, beginning at 9 a.m. each day and continuing until the crew gets tired, bored, or flakes out. You will save money, especially if you tell them the late Billy sent you.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. Partly sunny today. High is 74. The west-northwest winds will be between 5 and 10 miles per hour. Tonight's going to be partly cloudy. Low of 52 with west-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday, cloudy. High of 68. West winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the west winds 10 knots. Wind waves less than 2 feet. West swell 4 to 6 feet at 15 seconds, and tonight, west winds 5 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet with a northwest swell of 4 to 6 feet at 14 seconds, patchy fog as well, and Sunday, west winds 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, northwest swell 5 to 7 feet at 13 seconds. And for your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, I've got a collision to report here. This happened at 10:51. And there is an ambulance responding. This is at Highway 9 just north of 236.